From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica Radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Right-wing radio talk show host and shock jock Rush Limbaugh, known for his racist, misogynist, and white supremacist rhetoric, has died. He was 70 and had complications related to lung cancer. Former President Donald Trump broke his silence to praise Limbaugh in an interview, calling him irreplaceable and that, quote, he was with me right from the beginning. But others who remember his AIDS updates celebrating the deaths of gay men, his coining of the phrase feminazi, his dehumanization of immigrants, his perpetuation of fake news, hailed an end to one of the most destructive forces in American media. My guest is Jeff Cohen, media critic, writer, and retired journalism professor at Ithaca College. He co-founded the media watch group FAIR, as well as the group RootsAction.org. Welcome to the program, Jeff.
Great to be with you, Sonali.
So you have a long history of critiquing Rush Limbaugh, especially when you were active with FAIR, Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting. And it seems as though Rush Limbaugh was the original purveyor of the kind of media that is now, unfortunately, far too common, and maybe even the godfather of the sort of media, the right-wing media ecosystem that gave rise to Donald Trump. Tell me about your experience with calling out Rush Limbaugh and trying to alert the nation to the dangers of Rush's work.
Yeah, I think the beginning of the age of disinformation wasn't Trump, it was Limbaugh. And if it hadn't been for Limbaugh and the building of the right-wing media, there wouldn't have been Trump. It's been a steady growth of right-wing media that specializes in divisiveness, ridicule, standing up. We called Rush Limbaugh at FAIR, we called him the champion of the overdog. And, you know, at FAIR, when he was at his peak, which I would argue was in the 90s, we were inundated by Limbaugh. We listened to the show, the radio show, 3 hours. He had a TV show for a half hour. And I used to run to watch the television show. And my daughter was about 4, 5 years old. And she would say, Daddy, you must love Rush Limbaugh. And I'd have to say, no, I don't.
Uh-oh.
It's my work. And, you know, she'd ask me, well, why don't you like him? I said, because he doesn't share his toys well. But, I mean, it's true, the impact that Limbaugh had on the Republican Party, and it was the beginning of right-wing media sort of directing the Republican Party's ideology and issues. I mean, in 1994, think about these numbers. That was the Gingrich Revolution. The Democrats had been the majority in the House of Representatives in Washington for 40 years. And then 1994, an off-year election, not a big turnout, about 70 million people voted total in the congressional elections of 1994. And Limbaugh was boasting at that point about 18 million listeners, devoted listeners, every week. So one out of four voters at that low turnout election that brought the right wing into power in the U.S. House, one out of four was a Limbaugh listener, and that's scary. So you're right in your introduction. The divisiveness, what stunned me and what stunned us at FAIR when we were chronicling all of the crazy things this guy fed his audience day after day. I mean, with the beginnings of thought and worry about climate change, Limbaugh was one of the original climate change deniers. He claimed, and it was a complete falsehood, that there were more trees in the United States now than at the time the Constitution was written. More American Indians alive now than at the time Columbus arrived in the United States. I mean, it, you know, the polar ice caps could melt and sea rise would not be affected in any way. He compared it to ice cubes floating around in a glass of water. But I mean, when you think about the devotion, the number of people, largely white male, middle class, working class, the devotion of millions of people listening to this crap, where in the milieu of the Limbaugh show, white males are the oppressed minority. And he's got all these pseudo facts that seem to back him up. Unlike a lot of other talk radio people at the time, I think it's why Limbaugh soared, he seemed to have facts that would back up his argument. And then we proved it fair. He was making this stuff up.
I want to quote Kayleigh McEnany, the former press secretary of Trump, who so beautifully illustrates what you were just saying in terms of the pervasive influence of Rush Limbaugh. She posted on the day he died, "Rush Limbaugh had unrelenting boldness to proclaim the truth. Watching his wit, passion, and willingness to hold the media accountable informed my entire career." She said, "Growing up in Plant City, Florida, my dad would always play the Rush Limbaugh program in his pickup truck. My fellow classmates from my all-girls Catholic school knew if they rode in my car, we would be listening to Rush Limbaugh. I am the definition of a Rush baby. And it's not just me. There are tens of thousands of us all across the conservative movement. He has built a legacy that will endure for many generations to come and will continue to inform our country. Thank you, Rush, for all you've done for this nation. The United States of America is better because of you." That's Trump's former press secretary, the former press secretary, Kayleigh McEnany, who illustrated, I think, in that series of tweets, the influence that Rush Limbaugh had on this nation.
Yeah, on her and many media figures, right-wing media figures, of her generation. They were raised on Limbaugh. They would turn off all opposing views. I mean, when you got hooked on Limbaugh, the idea was that's all you need. He's the doctor of democracy. He's from God. Don't believe anything you hear in the liberal media. And you had all these people that were like totally tuned into him. He turned a lot of these listeners into voters and then activists by the millions. And the person who came along next, who took prior non-political, largely white males and turned them into voters and activists decades later, was Trump. But I mean, Limbaugh, it wasn't just McEnany and people, you know, right wingers that were completely zoned in on Limbaugh and blocking out any other counter information. That's almost the definition of a cult. But there were people like Chief Justice Clarence Thomas, who officiated at one of Trump's weddings. He had several. And when he'd be asked, "Media, do you consume?" "Oh, I don't consume media. I just listen to Rush 3 hours a day." And to think that a Supreme Court justice is getting this all-encompassing propagandistic view of the world, which is so detached from the reality of the world, it's a very, very scary thought. And I mean, there is a great documentary about the rise of Limbaugh. And Limbaugh's TV show, you know, the executive producer was Roger Ailes. And then after Limbaugh goes national in 1988, in 1996, Fox News is started by Roger Ailes. But there's a great documentary on the rise of the right-wing media and how it hooked in so many people that prior to it were not right-wing, they were not hateful, they did not harbor racial hatreds. The movie is called The Brainwashing of My Dad, directed by Jen Sanko, and I highly recommend it.
We actually interviewed her on our program about that very movie.
Yeah, it's really an important movie. Limbaugh, it's not an exaggeration to talk about the impact that Limbaugh has had on our culture, but it's very scary. And, you know, at FAIR, we would criticize these corporate centrists in the media that would go on the air. Yeah, I mean, Sonali, when you listen to him, when I listen to him, you know, and people say, "Well, you have to admit he's got a good sense of humor." And I said, I don't think it's funny because I can't get beyond the racial animosity, the sexism, the homophobia, the immigrant bashing. I can't get beyond that to see any humor. But what was amazing in the 90s when he was reaching his peak with the help of corporate centrist media, you had people like Ted Koppel putting him on their show on ABC Nightline. And Ted Koppel, head limbo, knows nothing about the environment, debating then Senator Al Gore. You had him on Meet the Press, Tim Russert bragging, boasting about how Limbaugh does his homework. He gets his facts straight. He was on Charlie Rose on public TV. So, you know, when I, it was.
That really speaks, Jeff, doesn't it, to the idea that, that our ratings-driven for-profit media system, unfortunately, ends up fostering this kind of figure, because it's more about profit and ratings than it is about truth. And if you can say outrageous things and garner viewers and the profits come in, then it doesn't matter if they're fomenting hate or spewing lies.
Yeah, you nailed it. I mean, these centrists, the Koppels and the Russerts and the Charlie Rose, they wanted this guy on their show. He would promote it for a day or two before. It was big, almost like these middle of the road figures. I don't think they could get away with it today, but they were basically saying the racism and sexism on that radio show does not offend me. And, you know, it's like most of us, when we tuned in, I tuned into Limbaugh because it was part of my job as the executive director of FAIR in the early 90s. And until we did these in detailed reports about his BS and how he's making this stuff up, I couldn't, until we had like a book contract and a report to write, it was hard for me to listen to more than 10 minutes of it because of the hatred, the divisiveness. And yet that didn't offend corporate centrists that wanted Limbaugh on their show.
Now, about 10 years ago, Gloria Steinem, Jane Fonda, and Robin Morgan wrote a column on CNN and basically called for the FCC to intervene. They said, Limbaugh doesn't just call people names. He promotes language that deliberately dehumanizes his targets, like the sophisticated propagandist Joseph Goebbels. He creates rhetorical frames, and the bigger the lie, the more effective, inciting listeners to view people they disagree with as subhumans. So sure, corporate media had him on for the ratings, but why did the government allow this to continue? Because, you know, he was promoting these things on the public's airwaves and setting the stage for all that, all of those hate mongers that followed.
Yeah, the Federal Communications Commission is operating within the First Amendment that we've heard a lot about in the last few weeks because of the riot, the insurrection on Capitol Hill. That unless you're inciting violence, imminent violence, that's the standard of the Supreme Court. I don't think it's bad, but I mean, that's the standard. What's telling is that over the years, there was a lot of advertiser flight. A lot of feminist groups and other groups were contacting advertisers and saying, if you advertise on this show, you know, I can't buy the products that you're selling. So there was a lot of activism around Limbaugh. My worry is if the FCC steps in against him, then the FCC will step in against Pacifica. That's our fear. But and I want to say something, because you originate from LA. What people have to understand, and I know you do, Sonali, is the impact of ownership, media ownership. Because while Limbaugh was the first one to take talk radio, political talk, to a national stage, talk radio, political talk before Limbaugh on the radio was local. But even in liberal cities, it started in the late 60s, early 70s, even in liberal cities, talk radio was always a backlash medium. It was put in the hands, the microphone was given to people that would bash the growing civil rights movement, the anti-war movement, the women's movement, the counterculture. So in a place like Los Angeles, you had these local talk show hosts, and these were the ones who sort of opened the door for Limbaugh, and then Limbaugh blew it open nationwide when he was national. you had Ray Bream, you had Georgie Putnam, you had people older than me in LA will remember these guys, Joe Pyne. I grew up in Detroit. Even though there were these movements of millions of people fighting for civil rights, trying to stop the Vietnam War, you never had any radio owners saying, you know what? There's an audience of millions of people in the late 60s, early 70s. I'm going to hire Ralph Nader to come on and have a show and give him a microphone. I'm going to hire Gloria Steinem to explain feminism. I'm going to hire Abby Hoffman to talk about the counter and the anti-Vietnam War movement, or Julian Bond. It didn't happen. But the people that owned radio, and radio was local then before Limbaugh took it national, they always had these right-wing backlash artists. You couldn't have the front lash. You couldn't have advocates for these social movements that clearly had millions of supporters across the country. They were never given the talk radio microphone by corporate owners. And I think that's one of the lessons when we study the history of talk radio in our country.
That's also the issue of how people are carrying on Rush Limbaugh's legacy today. We talked about Kayleigh McEnany. She's a young person. You know, we have people like Ben Shapiro today. There's a new crop of conservatives. I mean, although many people who were hailed from the groups that Rush Limbaugh denigrated deeply, they celebrated Rush Limbaugh's death, because it really felt like the world was a better place without him, because he was still speaking out just days before his death, bashing his usual suspects. But still, he has left behind, hasn't he, a legacy. It's not as though his generation of white male hate-mongering conservatives are dying out. They may be dying out, but they are being replaced by a younger crop. I don't know how big that crop is, how influential they are, but he has left behind an ugly legacy that unfortunately persists.
I think you're completely right. I mean, I happen to be in a motel room here where I'm watching, I've got a satellite. So I'm watching these right-wing TV news channels that are largely commentary. And by the way, were they gushing all week about Limbaugh? They're to the right of Fox News. You know, Newsmax on satellite TV and One America News Network, they're to the right of Limbaugh. Obviously, online, they're to the right of Limbaugh. You've got Breitbart and the QAnon. But I mean, you're right. It's a danger. We live in a country, and Limbaugh, in a sense, started it with the Gingrich Revolution, the victory of Newt Gingrich and the right-wing Republicans in 94. Limbaugh played a big role in 2010 in the Tea Party taking Congress, and he played a big role in the last 4 years behind Trump. And it's this idea that you can't trust actual journalists. They're going to give you liberal do-gooder stuff about caring about minorities and the poor. You can't listen to that. We're the ones giving you the truth. And that what Limbaugh started, the racial resentment, the looking for someone to blame. You know, he was like Trump. He's a whiner. There's always someone to blame, and it's minorities, it's homeless people, it's feminazis. That has gotten worse. And the conspiracy mongering has gotten worse. I mean, Limbaugh was a truther that Barack Obama wasn't born in the U.S. Limbaugh went on the air once and said that Hillary Clinton was involved in the murder of her close friend, a White House aide, Vince Foster, and that the murder had something to do with Hillary's apartment. I mean, it was just conspiracy nonsense. And I would argue that the internet is a medium that's even more appropriate for disseminating the hate and the hateful conspiracy mongering than Limbaugh with that one microphone on the radio. So you're right, the danger is ever present, even though Limbaugh is gone.
Well, finally, I'm wondering if you have any advice for young people who are considering a career in media and actually want to salvage journalism, because we are in a crisis of journalism. The people who are out there doing the real work of journalism are underpaid, are overwhelmed, are there's not enough of them. Our core of profit-based media empire is really not able to foster real journalism anymore. And yet, to counter that legacy that Russia has left behind, we need a crop of good young journalists to carry forward the other legacies, of the real journalists, right?
I think you're completely right. For 10 years at Ithaca College, I was a specialist in independent media. You are right that independent journalists, actual journalists who deal in fact and do actual research, they're overworked and they're underpaid. There's no doubt about it. But independent media have been booming. We talked about the downsides of the internet with all the conspiracy mongering and hate, but an upside of the internet is that independent media have been booming in the last 15, 20 years. Journalistic media. For the first time in US history, you've got millions of people every day who can get actual journalism from a non-corporate perspective. If you put together Sonali, your show, and Tom Hartman, and Free Speech TV, and Pacifica, and Democracy Now!, and The Young Turks, and The Intercept, and TheNation.com, and all of the websites, truthout.org, commondreams.org, you put them all together and they're doing actual journalism, fact-based journalism. There are millions of people that are getting news from journalistic non-corporate sources. And the prior heyday of independent progressive journalism, non-corporate journalism, was before World War I, where there was a huge socialist press in our country, or in the late 60s, early 70s, when there was the beginning of alternative weeklies, so-called underground weeklies. But in both those two periods, it was every week you'd have to wait for like IF Stone's Weekly or the LA Free Press to give you an alternative to corporate news. Today, because of independent media, non-corporate media, you can get independent journalistic solid news hour after hour after hour. But you're right, people who work in the independent media are overworked and underpaid.
Well, Jeff, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Appreciate your work. And we'll post a link to the piece that you did on FAIR about Rush Limbaugh many years ago from our website. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
My guest has been Jeff Cohen, media critic, writer, and retired journalism professor at Ithaca College. He co-founded the media watchdog group, Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, as well as rootsaction.org. We've been discussing the ugly legacy of Rush Limbaugh and how it laid the groundwork for Trump and Trumpism. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at RU with Sonali.